Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Expert Insights Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts, and communities. Expert Insights is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on your professional and personal success, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, top coaches, world stage speakers, thought leaders, thriving entrepreneurs and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Dr. Jean Marie Ferris, and I am delighted to have Ileana Gilad with us today. She is a healing voice mentor, motivational speaker, a keynote speaker at two TEDx events, and the founder of Voices of Eden Ancient Wisdom and Healing Music Institute. She is highly proactive in using the power of voice and rhythm as conscious tools to help humanity grow toward a better tomorrow. The promise is for people to be their own leaders. By mastering the art of sound and rhythm, Ileana develops techniques to help people heal mentally and physically. She's the author of best-selling book, Emerge Triumphant, Thrive Through Uncertainty, available on Amazon. Ileana, welcome, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your professional background, and how you developed your passion as a healing voice mentor.
Bottom line, by putting one foot in front of the next, by listening inside to where the answers are and not outside, by daring to listen to the nudges inside and connect to that true voice that's beyond the monkey mind and beyond the critical, pucka, 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 pucka.
Yeah.
On all day long, particularly these days when we're on post-pandemic times where we're kind of coming out, the world seems to be falling apart at the seams and everyone's asking, like, what's next? How do I show up? I must say right at the front that I really want to honor and acknowledge Vicki Winterton, because we were supposed to have our launch show yesterday. Unexpectedly, Vicki parted. Vicki was really responsible for bringing Emerge Triumph and Thrive Through Uncertainty to international bestseller status in 6 different categories within 24 hours of our launch. And talk about real life learning, getting, in real time learning. And I so want to acknowledge the importance of showing up and not avoiding the discomfort and the pain that comes up, because my experience, having lived through 3 wars, displacement, social unrest in the Middle East for 20 plus years, literally with, bombs blasting around me, it taught me to thrive through uncertainty and to emerge triumphant. And Vicki's passing was the third that I've experienced within the last 2.5 weeks. So I've had 3 deaths very close to me, and it really has rocked my world, not in a la-di-da pleasant way, but kind of like thrown me for a loop. On the other hand, how I'm responding to it is actually what is not only discussed in the book, but it's how I live and what we're experiencing on a global level. Down to the personal level, we're all experiencing our huge shift. And it's tantamount to, like the ancient Hebrews who fled Egypt. They were like being pushed into the sea. And what do? You get to the sea. And there was this one wise man named Nachshon, and it, you know, it's like, what do you do? What do you do when everything's falling apart? Do you hide under the covers? Do you freeze? Do you flee? But if you're fleeing in hot pursuit of you, and then you get to the sea and there's nowhere to turn, what do you do? This one guy, Nachshon, like walked into the sea one step at a time. Such was his faith in something bigger than what meets the eye. And he gets to the point of the waters are up to his nostrils where he's about to drown. And then the seas part. I'm so sensing that right now. I'm so sensing Vicki here.
Thank you for that, Ileana, because we're all in deep grief. And I'm pleased to be here today interviewing you and following Vicki's amazing legacy. So thank you again for sharing that, because we are in a time where we're having to deal with great faith and trusting. And as you mentioned, we are living in times of uncertainty and change, and many are speaking up and trying to find their way. Can you tell us a little bit about your book and what made you decide to put your work in book form?
Originally in book form was 30 years ago when I left the States in the early 90s and left for France. I lived in Europe and, amongst other things, worked for CBS Television. It was my voice that broadcast the 1992 Winter Olympics from France to the 60 million viewing public in the United States. I had already thrown away my television set because I wanted to be the principal player in my life. And I could actually see the writing on the wall of the recession in the States, and it hit very, very heavy in California. And my yuppie corporate job was made redundant. And they said, we're not going to fire you. We're just not going to continue your position and look for another job. I thought, I cannot look for another job. There was this inner urging. I didn't have words for it at that time. But since I was a little girl, I always knew that I had a special role in life and that every human being does, and that part of the game of life is to discover what that is and then give of our gift. And so from 5 years old till I was in my early or mid-30s then, and, you know, it's like, why am I here? Why am I here? What's next? What's next? What's next? Things that a lot of people are asking themselves today. And I decided that if I would jump off into the unknown back then, when I didn't have to, when I wasn't being pushed to shove, then when everything falls apart, I'd already be on the other side, and then I'd be able to come back and be of service to others who were going through their changes and didn't know what's next. And what really helped me was, what do you do when you can't figure it out, you don't have an answer, there's no clarity, but the terror of not jumping and getting to the end of my life and not knowing why I had lived, that terrified me a lot more than the terror of jumping off into the unknown. So I jumped off. And then I had this project with CBS for the Winter Olympics in France. And after those games, I again found myself working for a living. And at the end of the year, okay, I've like learned my lessons in life. I've learned them pretty well, but I don't know, like, why am I here? Like, okay, my New Year's resolution is I'm going to know what that is. And like, I'll play a game with the bell. If the bell rings inside, I'll take the work. And if it doesn't ring, I'm going to say no. And the voice of reason and the voice of fear and the critical voice, what? With your faith, you're going to buy bread in the marketplace? That's just so faithful. That's just so naive, you know? But I was at this point where I'd rather die, because it felt like living hell. It's like the outside looked great, but the inside, it's like the more I got the outer stuff, the worse I felt inside. And it wasn't about the outer stuff. It's that what I was searching for was being in alignment with myself inside to how I showed up in the world on the outside. And so I said, I won't take the work, and I didn't. And the money ran out, and I didn't eat for 2 days. I mean, I literally was on a do-or-die mission, and I had this monthly metro pass, so I could ride the trains, and I heard about this spiritual support group for creativity, and I thought, you know, I'm 2 days without food. I'm just going to go there and find inspiration. I didn't know what else to do. I get out of the train station, and I'm walking to this place, and I suddenly remember it was like arts focused and you were supposed to be bringing something to share. And I didn't have anything to share. I was this communications executive, yet beyond the spiritual path. But I remembered this Hebrew spiritual from my childhood. I'm a member of the Levite tribe on both my mom and my dad's side, which makes me a direct descendant of Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. At that point, I wasn't connected to that. But that's what came to my mind as I was walking in the door of the meeting place, that I'm not going to have to share anything because I'm going to sit in the corner and I'm going to imbibe inspiration, and that's it. And I get to the meeting, there's this, people were sitting in a circle, so there was no corner to hide in, and I sat at the end of the circle, like praying that the time would end before they came to my turn. And that was not the case. I was the last one. And so I sing this Hebrew spiritual, and there's like this focus, this silence at the end. And then I dared share that I hadn't eaten in 2 days and that I'm on this do or die mission. And I really need to know why I'm alive. What is my role here? I said, and don't offer me jobs. I mean, that's not the point here. There's always McDonald's. That isn't the point. Could always go back to the States, but there's something larger calling me. This man comes up to me afterwards and he points his finger in my face and he says, you know, you have work to do with your voice. Tomorrow morning, and he puts his hand in his jeans pocket, he takes out this crumpled piece of paper and on it he writes two station names, Dolphin Rochereau and Boularen. Those are two inner city trains. And he goes, so tomorrow morning you go to the train station and you get on that train and you sing that spiritual because people on the train need it. And I'm like, the man's certified loony. I'm not going to work for a living just for the money. It wasn't about the work, wasn't about the money. It was about right livelihood, you know, and the bell inside rings. And then that other voice goes, I'm as faithful. You know, it's like you're willing to go to the ends of the earth. You're willing to not eat for 2 days. But now with the bells ringing, are you willing to follow through on this? And I'm like, what do they think in the States? Have I gone nuts? They'll think I'm homeless? And I went home, and I just had no idea. I was terrified. And the next morning, I find myself waking up and going to the train station. And it's a work day, and people are getting on the train, commuting to work. And it's like, I'm not getting on with it. What am I, homeless? What am I, a bag lady? And at the last minute, the doors just shutting closed. I'm like Superwoman. I pushed them open. I jumped in the train, and everybody's sitting there with newspapers and books covering their face. This is before the days of cell phones in your face. And I go, good morning. I have a small song to start off the day on the right foot. And I start singing this Hebrew spiritual. And the books came down and the newspapers came down. And at the end of the song, there's this silence you could cut with a knife because they're waiting for me to busk. And I'm like, so help me God, either answer me now or I'll die on the spot. Choice is yours. But I am not going to ask for money. And what came out of my mouth was, you know, I'm not here to busk. I'm not here to ask you for anything. Well, if I'm asking for anything, it's that you actually treat yourself well, do something kind for yourself today because you really deserve it. And if somebody here actually does that, well, then my use on this planet's enough. I've given enough. And I found myself walking up and down the aisles in that train in like a good Californian, you know, have a nice day. And they pushed money in my hands. I had no pocket, no hat, no purse. I didn't bring anything for money. It was like this crucifix or I don't know, it was like this altered date kind of thing. But they pushed money in my hand. I received it and I made this pocket out of my long dress and I walked out of that train. Like for the first time in my life, I knew without anybody else having to acknowledge me that my voice really made a difference. It really made a difference. It's a sexy story to speak about the Olympics, because the same approach that I teach is how I did the opening and closing ceremonies in one take. But it is not sexy to speak about a train. And how the book comes into this is that the next day I meet this Argentinian busker who followed me out of the train, and he goes, you know, that's amazing what you do, and you need to add amazing grace. Yeah, that's a great idea. And so I did that. I would go up and down between the Hebrew spiritual and amazing grace, and it wasn't about singing. It was about showing up in the moment. And at the end of that week, I was offered a very nice, comfortable job with all the fixings and very steady employment. But if I took that job, I'd have to stop singing on the trains. And what I realized through that process is that I had found my calling, which was one, to somehow use my voice and music as a means to provide an environment where if we would just stop long enough and dare to connect inside of ourselves, we could ask ourselves any question 24/7 and receive the answer 24/7. And if we would dare listen, then we could have the courage to act upon that. And then that would lead us to the confidence to know that we are okay and we are being watched after. And so I turned it down, and I ended up singing on those trains every day for a year, 6 days a week, 12 trains. I counted once. It was like 200,000 people in the year. The other thing that became clear during that year was, because it was just after CBS, that I was to use media for a constructive purpose. And when I would meet people and tell them the things that happened to me, amazing things, they go, my God, that's a movie, that's a book, you've got to write it down. And back then, 30 years ago, I said, well, I will. And so Quiet in the Eye of the Storm, Miriam's Secret, those were the first. And they're like the predecessors of Emerge Triumphant. And Emerge Triumphant with the book is an extension of that. And it's so amazing that you asked that question today, because the whole purpose of Emerge Triumphant is for the voices of so many people. This is a resurgence of an ancient feminine leadership and healing voice approach and feminine leadership way. But over the last 30 years, I've trained more than 10,000 healing professionals and conscious entrepreneurs. It's not about my voice or any one person's voice. It's called Voices of Eden, this approach, because it's a living experiment of creating Eden on Earth, one authentic voice at a time. In our Emerge Triumphant community with the students, this launch was a co-creation. There are many, many people's stories in there of how they are meeting disruption. It's so important today, because you just open up the social media or the newspapers, it's the same thing or even more sensational than 30 years ago. Doom, gloom, and the world is coming to an end. And like, well, that's one perception, but that's so not my reality. And my voice makes a difference, and every voice makes a difference. And we have a choice what we're aligning with. And when we connect to the source of our power, to the source of our true voice, which is beyond that cognitive mind, there we connect to the source of our true power. And then we can respond in a different way, in a way that's self-supporting and that makes a contribution as well.
Wow. Your story is absolutely wonderful. You stepped out into the unknown, and you really followed your inspiration, your guidance that led you where you are now and creating this fantastic work that's such a great service to all.
Yeah. The crazy thing, it never ends. I think we make the mistake too, that we've cost ourselves so much pain, that living in our cognitive intellectual world, in a way we've all been inculcated and educated, it's like we think sequentially in a masculine worldview. And I don't mean man or woman. I mean masculine in terms of sequential, binary, intellect, cognitive. The things go forward in a straight line, and they don't. Mother Nature's there. Feminine worldview, think about well, we're on a phone, but, you know, like radio. God bless Vicki again. She was so helpful in connecting me to some wonderful people for a launch media tour. And yesterday I was on a radio interview, and this is really a full circle from the train story, because now it's using media for constructive purposes and to be of service and to support others in trusting themselves. But just imagine that every radio wave, the hertz, all music, all sound, all radio waves, they're being broadcast all at the same time. Everything on your social media is broadcast now. But we're not hearing everything. We are part of that everything. We're part of the waves. But in order to physically hear something, you tune into a certain hertz, to a certain vibe. Same thing with our thoughts. They're vibrations. And our thoughts are our voices. And if you don't believe that your voice makes a difference, your voice makes a difference either constructively or destructively. Think about, like yesterday, somebody on the radio show, she asked, I don't have confidence. And this is a powerful woman. You know, she goes, how do I go back out after this time? Like, how do I go out in post-pandemic times? And I've been thinking about that. It's like such a good question. What's stopping us? All right, maybe something is pushing you forward if you've got that much of clarity yet. Or on the other end, you're trying to figure things out and you can't. There's a big reason why. Because those voices inside of you, the voices of fear, couldn't, shouldn't, woulda, fear, they're there to keep you small. They're destructive. That's a destructive use of sound. And, you know, we're not hearing those voices. They're not like piping out of your head, but look at how it stops you. Or when you want to speak your heart to someone and you're like prepared for it, and then you get to the conversation and it comes out of your mouth is like night and day. So what happened? It's what's going on inside.
What you're saying, Ileana, is so important. And it's so important for people to find their voice, know that their voice matters and that they can make a difference. And that's why there are great people like you to help people heal and move forward in their lives. What are your thoughts about what inhibits people from their authentic self-expression, and why is it important?
That's a great question. Let's go back to this, when you go to speak your heart or something that's really important to you or do something. You know, I'm hearing it so much from clients, from our Emerge Triumphant students. And I actually set up a free workshop in celebration of the book, Three Keys to Thrive Through Uncertainty, because this very question, I just keep hearing it. It's like, what am I going to do? You know, how am I going to come out? And I have an inkling, but then my partner, my family, my friends, my colleagues, what do they say? How will they react? I can't, because, and we give our power away to how others will respond. And there we are dissing ourselves because we are not listening to ourselves to begin with. We're reacting out of the reactive voices that are silently, subconsciously running our lives.
You indicated that you had some tips that you can share with the listeners from your book and from your experience on helping them perhaps speak their truth and overcome challenges.
So here's the thing in the book, and also that we cover in the workshop, and for anyone listening, if this speaks to you, please do yourself a favor and go to that class. It's just really powerful. Let's take this situation. You have like a different in a relationship. It could be a personal relationship. It can be in your business, you know, with a difficult client, or, you know, maybe in a sales situation. There's a conflict with what you want or what's true for you and what's coming up with the other person. Isn't it so? I mean, we're conscious people. If you're listening to this radio show, you're a wise person. You're a smart cookie. You contribute good to the world. It's important to you. So we sit there, what am I going to do, and how can we make this better, and how can we get along, and what can I say or what can I do so that they'll be able to hear me, so that they'll say yes, so that, you know, all of that. And like trying to figure that out And in the midst of not knowing what to do, in the midst of the uncertainty, we get so involved in that, and it's a trap because the very means by which we're trying to figure it out, that's on a cognitive level, we're trying to figure it out, and the answer isn't there. Like, how's it working for you? And sometimes the best thing to do in that situation, nothing. What? Yes, nothing. Because trying to figure it out, like the very thing that you literally and figuratively think that will work is the very thing that's causing the problem. Because the answer is in another paradigm altogether. So the best thing that you can do more times than not is nothing. The second thing is stop. Just stop. Because when you dare stop, then you can listen to yourself. Go within, and then another answer can emerge. And you can ask yourself, what's not working? When everything shut down, people freaked out, and my entire business tanked because the model was built on retreats. I lead retreats to these ancient sites, and we would work there with these tools and private immersions. And so that all went away, but I didn't worry because having lived through those three wars, my business is tanked during the three wars too, but I would use these tools and literally do nothing but stop and listen. And the first thing that I would do that you can do is ask yourself what's not working. And it's such a powerful tool. We tend to run from that. We don't want to meet what's not working. So we'll paste it over by the drug of trying to figure things out and, like, how's it working? It's painful, and we don't get the answers anyway because the answers aren't in our mind. In our mind is fine. That cognitive reasoning is really valuable when you have an engineering problem, you know, or something like a technology something or putting something together. So you want to make a recipe or something, a meal for the first time and you've never done it before. This is the ingredients. They have certain chemical properties that interact in certain ways. But when it comes to change and uncertainty, a sudden death or a sudden ending, and we're all facing post-trauma. I mean, this so reminds me of after the wars. It's like that's when the proverbial caca hits the fan. You know, it's like not during. It's like everybody's in shock. And collectively around the globe, we're all experiencing that.
May I go back to those points that you made, Ileana, about nothing and stopping? I think that's so profound because we are so accustomed to doing and going outside of ourselves for answers. And can you share more about the connection to your true voice? How can our listeners access this? Do you have any points to share?
Well, if you want to trust your true voice, choose it. It's so simple. You already have all of your answers inside, but you don't need anything. It doesn't cost you any money. What a deal. It's right inside of you. The only problem is that we're so, you know, like you say, Jean, we're so habituated to do. It's like we're addicted to it.
What you're saying, trust your true voice. Choose it.
Make that decision. And if it's hard for you, well, then that's why I made that free workshop. And in that free workshop is an amazing exercise with a use of this ancient healing sound way. In ancient times, leaders, they would regularly go to the temples, which were kind of equivalent of a spa, a community center, a university, a hospital, a theater, in ancient structures that were built for and by sound. And they would avail themselves of special applications of sonic vibration, therapeutic use of sound that would bypass their intellect, quiet the mind, and bring them to their higher mind where our answers are. And that would provide clarity and then allow them to get the answers to whatever they were facing. They would welcome the blocks coming up because they knew that if they didn't avail themselves of the healing properties, they'd just be in that same place grinding their do-do-do, exhausting themselves and getting nowhere fast. This approach is a resurgence of that way. And there's structures and there were certain places, and something that's in the free workshop is a application that I composed and recorded live at the ancient site of the parting of the seas at dawn. It was amazing.
Right.
So there's an exercise in there. It's really powerful. It's not something that I could really explain in words. Anything that I'm saying to anyone who's listening, don't believe anything I say. It's not really worth anything. What's worth something is for you to be willing to stop and connect to yourself and then experience your own wisdom inside. It's not a cognitive book. The whole book is meant to bring you within to your own inner book. You know, you're the book of wisdom. You'll only stop long enough to connect. And the book is there to help you connect. And the free workshop is there as a free resource.
So you incorporate a lot of tools and exercises so that people can connect to their inner self,
yeah,
find their voice?
It's amazing because I'm recording a version that is accessible anytime, any place. And I'm amazed at what I'm experiencing. I'm the one who recorded that. It was 10 years ago. And I am being so resourced, especially given these last few weeks with all of these passings. It's really, really astounding. I'm becoming even more grounded and more resourced in that feminine power. It's like there's no end to it. It's cyclical, and it's like dipping into your own well and resourcing yourself so then your needs are taken care of and then you can be there for other people.
That is so empowering. Ileana, you use the art of sound and rhythm. Can you talk a little bit more about that as conscious tools?
That's a great question. So here's the thing is, in ancient times, we were a lot more sophisticated in our use and wielding of power through sound than we are in modern times, because we were still living from a matriarchal worldview, many layers, like all the radio stations, in an organic, holistic way. And if you think about it, the essence of all matter is vibratory. The essence of the atom is vibratory. Sound is the first manifestation from the ethers to physical manifestation. We sculpt sound waves. That's why there's 94.7 hertz, you know, all those things. Those are sound waves, and yet we don't see them. Light comes after sound. Sound is the first manifestation from whatever you want to call it, the ethers into physical manifestation. And I believe that's why we have such issues around our voice. Because when you actually go to express yourself, you're basically bearing your soul, literally and figuratively. And it's so vulnerable. At the same time, when you consciously connect to the source of the sound, and it's a vibration, so that's the rhythm as well. When you consciously connect, there you wield the entire power of the universe in your hands.
That's powerful.
It's so powerful that you got to be willing to go out of your mind, because you can't get there from any cognitive place. You can make a sound, you can make rhythm, but it's from that place of doership. That's a whole nother identity. That's when I'm the one making the sound, doing it, then I'm like the doer and I'm separated from the source of the whole thing. It's disempowering. I'm not making a judgment of this either. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, we live in a cognitive world. But when you dare stop long enough to connect to the source of how difficult is it to be who you already are? We already are that. We're looking in the wrong direction. But the moment we start connecting in the right direction, my goodness, then you have such an easier time responding in the present moment. You don't have to figure things out because right in this present moment, you know what to do. That's very powerful.
Yes, it is. Ileana, what impact would you like to have in the world?
That people will trust themselves and dare show up in their goodness, stop looking outside of themselves or answers, and dare stop long enough to connect within and develop the courage to trust what they're hearing and then have the courage to act upon that. Because my experience shows me over 30-something years that when I do that, it always takes me to good places, especially when I act and it doesn't make sense. I just pray that this book resounds far and wide for people to dare listen. My entire life is in service to the resurgence of this ancient way. And, you know, it's this honor to our ancestors and this feminine approach, which is soft and gentle. But when I say soft, by no means do I mean not powerful. Feminine power. Think about a rock and a hammer, and then think about one little drop of water, drip, drop, on a rock over a period of time can bore a hole in that rock that the hammer could never do. That's power.
Fantastic. These are great intentions from your book and such a great contribution to humanity. And I'm sure our listeners really resonate with what you're saying and will access your book to learn more. How can listeners connect with you? Do you have a link where people can go?
Go to voicesofeden.com/book, and you can access the book there, and you'll see a trailer that I wanted to do this for so long, to be able to record in these places. And you can go there. And there's also, I believe, a link on that page, too, if you're interested in the free workshop.
You're providing such powerful services. You're empowering people worldwide. We really thank you for being here. We know that your book will make an impact in the world, and we really appreciate the generosity of your time and wisdom. And for those who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, best-selling books, award-winning magazine, global broadcasts, and communities, you can find us at mybookmybiz.com. Have a wonderful week.